If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini al-Islam, dini wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to talk about the laws related to Amr Ma'ruf and Nahy an Munkar, which is the concept of enjoying the good and forbidding the evil, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Subhanallah.
back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about the concept of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil and the jurisprudential statuses, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, about that with Sheikh Javid. Sheikh Javid, you know, in the last episode, we actually promised our dear audience to talk about the conditions for enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. After you clarified and kindly elaborated on the very concept of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, and whether it is obligatory or not, that you mentioned that it is obligatory as far as the knowledge is concerned, right?
Sure.
So would you please tell our audience about the conditions? What are the conditions for Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar, which is translated as enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, or promoting virtue and preventing evil, is without a doubt obligatory when a person sees that felonies are committed, mm-hmm. you know, offenses are being committed, and evil is being spread by someone. Then it is necessary and quite obligatory for according to Islamic Sharia, for that individual to take action to stop that evil and to prevent that evil from spreading. And it's the duty of every duty-bound person, every individual who has attained the legal age, the age of legal responsibility. But of course, as I mentioned, or just like I said, the person who enjoins must know the obligatory and haram act, and this is the first condition. Mm-hmm. Okay, having knowledge of the obligatory and haram acts is the first obligation. You know, if you do not know what is haram and what's halal, how can you stop it?
How can you tell the difference?
How can you tell the difference? How can you enjoin others mm-hmm. to do good?
Yes.
So one must have proper knowledge of halal and haram, and he should have knowledge of the Islamic Sharia and the Islamic law. Otherwise, he's not obliged to enjoin others. So if one, for example, does not consider an action as haram or obligatory due to ijtihad or taqlid, for example,
right?
Yeah, because there are we see that there are some, for example, mujtahids who because of ijtihad or because of taqlid does not believe that something is haram. For example, mm-hmm. According to Supreme Leader Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, smoking cigarette is forbidden as an obligatory precaution if it causes substantial damage. Okay. Mm-hmm. But there is precaution. His right. Eminence exercises precaution. According, I know of some religious authorities who believe that smoking is forbidden. Mm-hmm. There is no precaution.
I see.
So one has to know, one has to know whether something is haram or halal according to Islamic Sharia and according to the religious authority who he follows. Otherwise, it's not obligatory. So, for example, when it comes to some actions being considered haram or obligatory due to, for example, ijtihad or taqlid, it's not obligatory for another person who considers it obligatory or haram to enjoin that individual.
Yes.
Because he is acting
but
according to
how
his...
How do they know that, for example, this individual is following another religious authority and then you don't know?
You know, you can, for example, come across such individual, you can either ask him or you probably must know it, you know, if you don't
so
know.
Sometimes it's a personal issue, Sheikh Javid, and
yeah.
they don't want to express clearly
right.
that they are following, for example, a certain marja, right?
Yes.
So, and it is not incumbent on you to ask other people.
Yeah,
so,
it's not incumbent.
And
okay.
it's not necessary for them to answer you. Right? It's too personal,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is personal. You're right. You know, as long as the issue is clearly defined, for example, no one from any religious authorities considers, for example, drinking alcohol or alcoholic intoxicating beverages halal, okay?
Right.
And no one considers dogs or pigs pure, okay?
Sure.
So these are clearly defined Sharia laws. And when it comes to such things, there's no room for any doubt.
I see.
Okay.
So
you can right away, you know, forbid him. You can just start telling him off not to, for example, approach impurity, not to commit such.
Okay.
Now, that was the first condition.
Yes. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back to further our discussion. Stay with us.
لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, his host in this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are talking about the concept and the conditions of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javed, you are through with the first condition.
Yeah.
And what is the second condition?
The second condition is probability of being effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you enjoin someone to do good and forbid from evil, there should be a likelihood of that enjoining to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
And when one thinks that, for example, enjoining can be effective, even in the future, let's say, it is obligatory for him to do so, even if there is a strong possibility that it will not be effective, okay? But there is likelihood, there is some kind of possibility that enjoining could be effective.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a chance or likelihood of that, of your words being effective, because there are stages in Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy al Munkar. For example, if any of the stage is going to be effective, it is going to help that individual, for example, do something good or stop, refrain from doing something bad,
yes.
Then that becomes obligatory.
Uh-huh.
And of course, if enjoining another person to do an obligatory act or from doing or forbid from refrain from doing something haram, you see, it is not sufficient by a single person. No, one person is not sufficient. There should be a group of people or many people to enjoin. Then it becomes necessary for all those people, those people to join together and forbid that person from doing haram thing, or enjoin him to do good things. You know, because the one person may not be as effective as two people. So two people, three people, the more the number of the people, the more effective it is going to be. In that case, all those people have to join together and forbid. And then there's a third condition, to insist on the sin, you know. Sometimes you might commit a haram act, you know, only once for all, you know, once forever. And you are not actually planning, you're not intending to commit that act again and again.
It's a random act.
Yeah, so it happens randomly. So if a person is bent on doing something again and again, then it becomes necessary to forbid that individual.
Uh-huh.
The sinner, according to Supreme Leader, insists on the continuation of the sin, you know. So if it is, for example, known or even probable that he will give up the error without being enjoined, then, of course, it is not obligatory for you to enjoin him, you know, if it is probable.
Okay.
That okay, because he is not intending to to commit it again and again.
And it's not a systematic act of evil.
You're right.
Or evilness. Thank you very much. Is that all?
There's one thing. You know, no vile consequences, no negative consequences. You know, enjoining good is okay, it's obligatory. Forbidding evil is necessary. But it should not have a negative effect. Let's say there should not be any danger threatening you. There should not be any, you know, any negative results. For example, if it's feared that you might be attacked by that individual,
or hurt.
You'll get hurt, or maybe your reputation will be damaged, or your money, you lose your money.
I see.
In that case, it's no longer obligatory.
Obligatory. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for your nice contribution to this program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. We were talking about the conditions for enjoining the good and forbidding the evil to be obligatory, according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Thank you very much for listening to this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
محيي مميت أبطال.